Ever stepped on a plane and thought, wow, how do they keep this massive thing in the air safely? I know I have.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And it's way more involved than a quick once-over before takeoff, right?
Absolutely. There's a ton that happens behind the scenes to keep things running smoothly up there.
And that's what today's deep dive is all about. A behind-the-scenes change in aviation safety that could have a huge impact. We're talking about safety management systems, or SMS, for aircraft repair stations.
And what's interesting is that this isn't exactly a new idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The article we're looking at today, Safety Management Systems, the Proposed Rule is Around the Corner, from Aviation Maintenance Magazine, it actually points out that this shift has been a long time coming, even globally.
Okay, so walk me through this. When did this whole SMS thing first take flight, so to speak?
Well, rewind back to 2007.
Back when flip phones were all the rage.
Exactly. Back then, the International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, put out the call for these SMS rules to be implemented.
Okay, makes sense. A global organization setting global standards. So if they called for it back in 07, is the U.S. just late to the party?
Well, yeah, kind of. Other regions, like the European Union, have actually already implemented SMS for their repair stations.
Interesting. So they've been ahead of the curve on this one for a while then.
Definitely. And the article even specifically mentions Japan as being a real leader in SMS implementation. They've been using it for years.
Okay, so that begs the question, what's the holdup here in the U.S.? If this has been in the works for so long, why is it only a proposed rule now? At least according to this article from 2022.
That's the million-dollar question, right? And to be honest, this particular article doesn't really delve into the specifics of the delay.
Right, it doesn't offer any insights.
Not really. It could be a whole bunch of factors at play, maybe political considerations, economic factors, or even pushback from certain parts of the aviation industry.
Ooh, intrigue. Now you've got me wondering about all the backroom deals and hushed conversations. But before we go full conspiracy theorist, let's back up a bit.
Good idea.
For those of us who don't speak aviation mechanic, what exactly are safety management systems? Break it down for us like we're five.
Okay, so imagine SMS as this shift. Instead of just reacting to problems after they happen, you're trying to prevent them in the first place. It's like, instead of fixing a flat tire, you're checking your tire pressure regularly and noticing a slow leak before it becomes a problem.
So it's like that old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, but for airplanes.
Exactly. And the article breaks it down into four main parts. First, you've got your safety policy.
Okay, safety policy. What's that all about?
Basically, it's like a mission statement for safety. It lays out how committed the organization is to safe operations.
Got it. So it's like safety first, but like a whole lot more official.
Exactly. Then there's safety risk management, which is all about first identifying anything that could go wrong, any potential hazards, and then figuring out how to reduce those risks.
So if you're thinking about a bird flying into an engine, you come up with a plan to try and prevent that, right?
Exactly. Or making sure no tools are left behind after doing maintenance, you know, to avoid potential damage. Things like that.
Wow. So it's really thinking ahead, being proactive.
Yep.
That's a lot of responsibility. It's not just about fixing what's broken. It's making sure things don't break in the first place.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
And it's not enough to just have a plan, right? You need to make sure it's actually working. And that's where the third part comes in, safety assurance.
Okay, so what does safety assurance look like in action?
Think audits, inspections, data analysis, all that good stuff. Basically, it's checking if the safety measures you have are actually doing what they're supposed to.
So it's like double checking your work, but on a much, much bigger scale.
Exactly. You're making sure everyone's following the plan and that it's actually making things safer.
That makes a lot of sense. And the fourth component.
Right. The fourth one is safety promotion.
Okay, so not just having the rules, but making sure everyone's on board with them.
Yeah. It's about creating a culture where everyone, from the CEO to the mechanic just starting out, feels empowered to prioritize safety.
So anyone can raise a safety concern without worrying about being ignored or, worse, punished for speaking up.
Exactly. It's about fostering a real sense of shared responsibility for safety.
And honestly, that's something that goes way beyond aviation. I feel like any industry where safety is critical could learn a thing or two from this whole SMS approach.
I totally agree. And what's interesting is while this article we've got focuses on the U.S., it does highlight how other countries have already been implementing SMS, hopefully with good results.
Which makes me wonder, what kind of impact could this have on air travel as we know it? So we've established SMS is a pretty big deal and something the U.S. is lagging behind on. But what does it actually mean for everyday flyers like me? What's the impact going to be?
Yeah, that's the question, right? I mean, on the surface, you might not see these big immediate changes. It's not like you'll suddenly see mechanics doing safety dances on the tarmac because of safety promotion, but behind the scenes, that's where the real impact of SMS could be felt.
Okay, I like where this is going. So, give me a for instance. What's something tangible that could actually affect my next flight?
Okay, so let's say there's this specific part. It's on a certain model of aircraft, and it's known to wear down faster than expected.
Okay, I'm picturing it. What happens next?
Well, with an SMS approach, instead of just waiting for that part to fail on who knows how many aircraft, which would mean delays, cancellations, all that bad stuff, repair stations are more likely to catch it early.
Because they're proactively looking for that kind of thing.
Exactly. They can flag it, share that information with manufacturers, with other stations even, and then implement preventative measures, before it becomes a bigger issue.
So it's like catching that loose screw before the whole engine falls apart.
You got it. And for passengers, that translates to less downtime for the aircraft, which hopefully means fewer delays and disruptions for you.
Okay, now that's music to my ears. I don't know anyone who enjoys being stuck at the airport. Anything else? Are there any other perks to SMS for passengers?
Well, the big one, the whole point really is increased safety.
Right, of course. I mean, that's the ultimate goal.
Exactly. Aviation is already incredibly safe, statistically. But having a more standardized, robust safety system across all repair stations, that can make a safe industry even safer.
That's reassuring, for sure. It's like having that extra layer of, I don't know, peace of mind, knowing that every single repair station is held to the same high standard.
That's the idea. And this is where it gets interesting. The article points out something pretty unusual. The author, who's an aviation lawyer, is actually encouraging everyone in the industry to read the proposed rule themselves and give feedback to the FAA.
Oh, wow. You don't see that every day. Usually it feels like regulations are just like handed down from on high, and that's that.
It is different, and it kind of shows that they know in a field as complex as aviation, you need collaboration. It seems like they're actually open to hearing from the people who will be most affected by this rule.
That's pretty cool. Like they're saying, we value your expertise. Help us get this right.
Exactly. And it highlights this important point, this shift to SMS. It's not just about ticking boxes on a checklist, it's about fostering a culture of continuous improvement in aviation safety.
Which makes you wonder what happened next, because this article's from 2022. So where are things at now? Did the FAA actually follow through? Did they listen to that feedback?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this article doesn't give us the answer. It's a cliffhanger. We're left with more questions than answers.
All right, so we're left with this aviation mystery.
Exactly.
What happened after this article on SMS for repair stations came out? Did the FAA actually make it a reality?
Well, good point. It was just a proposed rule back in 22 when the article was published, so it wasn't a done deal or anything.
Right, like they were putting out a draft and asking for everyone's notes, which is pretty cool when you think about it. But that also means things could change since then, right?
Exactly. And everyone knows government stuff doesn't always move quickly, so to get the full picture, we need to do some detective work here.
Love it. So, where do we even start with this investigation?
Well, the Federal Register is always a good bet.
The what now? Sorry, not familiar with that one.
Oh, it's basically where all new federal rules are published officially.
Oh, okay.
So if this SMS rule for repair stations actually got the green light, it would be in there.
Official government records. What if our search comes up empty there? What's our plan B?
Don't worry, there are other leads to follow. We could always check out those aviation publications, the magazines and websites that are all about that industry news.
Ah, so like the trade publications, keeping a finger on the pulse. Makes sense they'd be all over any big regulatory changes like this, right?
Exactly. They often have these legal experts who break down these rules, explain the impacts and all the challenges, and even highlight success stories from other countries that have already tried it.
Ooh, behind the scenes insights. This is getting good. Anything else we could look into?
Well, we could even try to reach out to the FAA directly, see if they'll spill the tea.
Bold move. I like it.
Or even industry groups that represent repair stations.
Right. They'd be in the thick of it.
They could give us the inside scoop, what the implementation process was like, any hurdles they faced, things like that.
And we're going full investigative journalist here. I'm loving it. But that's what's so fun about these deep dives, right? We start with this and like one article, but then it becomes this whole quest for answers, this whole other layer that most people probably don't even think about.
And that's what makes it interesting, right? We started with this one article about this potentially huge EE change for aviation safety. And now we're on this mission to uncover its real-world impact. Did it happen? How did it go? So many questions.
Right. And whether that SMS rule is in full swing right now, or if it's facing some turbulence, just talking about it highlights how safety in aviation is constantly evolving.
Yeah. Totally. And for me, it's a reminder that every time we board a plane, there's this massive network of people, rules, systems, all working behind the scenes to make sure we get where we need to go safely.
You know what? Next time I'm at the airport, I'll be looking at those mechanics with a whole new level of respect.
For sure.
They're not just fixing planes. They're part of this whole intricate system that's always striving for better and better safety.
Exactly.
And that's a wrap on another deep dive. We covered a lot of ground today, from proposed rules to a full-blown investigation.
It was quite a journey.
To our listeners, next time you're up in the air, take a moment to appreciate that invisible web of safety that got you there. And hey, who knows? Maybe one of you listening will be the one to take aviation safety even further in the future. Until our next deep dive, keep exploring and keep that thirst for knowledge alive.